you know, I've been playing a lot of Age of Empires as of late, and I thought, you know, why don't they kind of take it into the post-apocalyptic kind of future in terms of building up a group of people and trying to survive, and instead of wild animals and stuff, you get mutants and that kind of crap. Because I was thinking about, you know, you've got a lot of these post-apocalyptic games, but you're only like one person. Mm-hmm. And there was a cool zombie game that had come out on Armor Games. Now, since then, it's been become a free-to-play just whorehouse, so it's not really that much fun anymore. But
Poorhouse or whorehouse?
Your scavet, whorehouse, yeah. Whorehouse, okay. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Rich house.
But you know, the whole idea of scavenging and your resources not being gold and that kind of stuff, but, you know, being... ammunition or people that you find out in the wilds of the apocalypse or whatnot. I don't know. I think it'd be fun. I mean, you know, I really like the medieval times, don't get me wrong, but I'm kind of tired of playing real-time strategy games that are either strictly military or
historical,
you know, the fantasy stuff. Yeah, I mean, I'd rather have sci-fi. Something that's a little bit different and maybe not, you know, 100% about combat, you know, more about survival and going from there. So,
and Ethan, I don't know, would always prefer a post-apocalyptic setting. It just seems to be.
Or you know what? You know, speaking of post-apocalyptic, here's a setting I would take even after before that is. So we always have the post-apocalypse, but we don't focus as much on the beginnings of that apocalypse. You know, so think Resident Evil and those kind of games. Like it's happening now.
The pre-post.
Yeah, kind of like everything's developing. You know, there's stuff happening. People are getting sick or turning into stuff or a UFO's on its way, whatnot. But that kind of time when you see everything develop, because we always see the after effects of it. I want to see maybe in there. So maybe not even post-apocalyptic. Maybe, you know, the city's already built and shit's going down and you're trying to – I mean, now it's not even Age of Empires, but fuck, I completely changed my game. But I want to see that, man. Like Resident Evil – did a really good job of that. I always loved how Resident Evil handled that. Second one, actually probably more like the third one, because the third one gave you more of a nemesis, gave you more of an idea of what was actually going on. But yeah, I like that. Like, oh, you know, an hour ago everything was fine. There was like puppy dogs and stuff hanging out, and now those puppy dogs are all dead, and they're zombies and gargoyles.
I don't like dead puppy dogs.
No, I don't either. But you know, I'm just that's what happens though. You know, in these bad situations. So. Yeah, do something. Yeah, someone go do that.
Is there anything else to add besides just the kind of the new skin to it? What does the post-apocalyptic setting do for strategy?
Well, I think that I don't think you should just be humans or different, you know, races of humans. I think that maybe you should be able to be like a big Godzilla-like monster, or you can be like a blob or something like that. So you can be huge monsters that just, you know, rain death upon everybody, or you could be like a zombie plague, or you could be werewolves. I don't know, something like that. You know, change it up so that every time you play, you have to have a completely different strategy. I mean, you're not going to deal with Godzilla with a pocket knife. Well, I guess there's really no monster you deal with a pocket knife. So that's just don't go in any
like
monster situation with a pocket knife. Yeah, well, even
that is
then,
a
though,
shitty starting weapon.
Yeah, I was going to say, fuck. Hopefully we can attack my gremlins because we've got like a ton of these pocket knives.
We got a box full of pocket knives.
Do you remember Giant Kabuto?
Giant Citizen Kabuto?
Yeah. That kind of idea that, you know, there was these different races and they played so differently. I don't know.
I felt like
I don't even know what this game is now.
I felt like Warcraft was headed in that direction originally, but then they boiled down there. You know, at one point, Warcraft 3 was supposed to add demons, and then they figured out they're going to be way too powerful, so everything has to be balanced. But yeah, I would like to see that approach to add in different races. But my problem with post-apocalyptic settings is, what's the how do you win? Like, like what would be the end goal there?
Do you remember, I did an interview with Sarah Northway a long time ago. She did a game called Rebuild, which was a zombie game, which was a great game, but the whole idea of rebuilding, so as opposed to like building things up from scratch, like, you know, secure, I like the idea of going into a ruined place and rebuilding everything, getting things set back up, and then slowly, you know, progressing towards, you know, that normalcy. And I like I just get... like, oh, now we can have a garden, or that now we can, you know, watch the Brady Bunch on radio. I just that kind of idea, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because that's not always, it's always, you know, like, okay, Marines, get in there and kill all the bugs. And then they kill the bugs and they're like, okay, leave. Don't clean up after yourself. Don't worry about it. I'm like, clean up after yourself. Make that place look nice. Get that bug shit off the walls and let people move in there. Turn it into a condominium or something. I don't know.
Restoration project.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. In the apocalypse, house cleaners and people that do interior design and that kind of stuff, they will be needed because that's how you maintain morale, and no one ever explores that in games. They only explore the people that can cook and kill.
Not enough function.
You should actually... Yeah. I'd like to see the game, you know, build and build to that conclusion, but then the last chapter of the game is just completely different. You are actually playing as those interior designers and maid services. It becomes like this post-apocalyptic Sim City just for like an extra 6 hours with no explanation. And finally, you can actually have a happy ending because, I don't know, all those post-apocalyptic games, it's just kind of like you left the world slightly better, but let's face it, it's still pretty shitty. So
it's pretty shitty. Or maybe you get on your social network and you're like, oh my god, all the people that just annoy the piss out of me, they've died! The world may be a little bit better.
You might have a personal vendetta against that. You might be a little biased. But hello, welcome. To the Horrible Show, for the first episode for 2014 from HorribleNight.com. I'm Justin Lacey, joined tonight by Aaron McNeil.
Don't watch RoboCop vids, kids.
And
don't watch them.
The apocalyptic stylings of Ethan Moses.
Yeah, don't click on that link in chat. Seriously, you may want to actually go ahead and click.
Actually, yeah, go ahead and do it.
I'm the bad angel. Aaron's a good angel.
Don't watch RoboCop.
Well, that's where our like good and bad moral settings are, or whether or not you watch RoboCop.
Whether or not you
promote
whether or not you watch RoboCop shooting 45 dicks off. Yeah, that's
depends on what RoboCop's doing.
Yeah, that's moral spectrum we're dealing with.
You're always going to watch RoboCop, but it depends on what he's doing. That's what good angel says, watch this RoboCop. Bad angel says, watch RoboCop shoot off 45,000 dicks.
Ethan, besides watching questionable RoboCop videos, what have you been up to?
Oh, man. I don't know.
It's been a while, man. Like
the Grimmies
was a really long
time. I think when we the last show we had, I've been having a little bit of writer's block, and so we kind of took a month off, and just kind of gathered our thoughts, and I definitely needed to get back to the point where I enjoyed playing games. Again, and I think one aspect of it is I kind of distanced myself from. A lot of news sites and that kind of stuff. Yeah, I just got back. I just played the games I wanted to play. Wasn't worried about new releases and that kind of stuff. And then I told myself I need to write something every single day, which is what I've been doing. So I actually have been spending a lot of time writing, making a lot of notes on the Horrible Night, you know, little where we put our post in there. So I don't have a full article done, but I've been putting notes, and my whole goal is just you write something every single day. So I've been doing a lot of that, focusing on getting back in shape too. I went home for Christmas and realized that I was the fattest guy in the room. So that's not something I've ever been used to. So
were you the fattest guy on the plane?
I was, yes.
Whoa!
I mean, there was a dude that was a slightly fatter than me, but I was sitting there and I was putting my seatbelt on. I'm like, man, this doesn't feel too good. And I look down and my stomach is just like gurgling all over it, like a blob. I'm like, okay, I gotta make a change. So actually, it was bad. I'd gotten pretty lazy and you know not a big deal because you can't always be active, but I think it was actually kind of affecting. My writing, you know, the kind of the way I was eating and I was drinking a lot and stuff like that. So I've made some changes and it's actually been really, really beneficial. It's made me love life a little bit more. You
Aww.
Know, I just love life. I love kissing and regardless of if people want it or not.
I've seen some of your other projects, your energy level is back for sure.
Yeah. And I'm really, and I'm really pumped to write about games again. I'm just trying Video to, games. I have a lot. See, before, like 3 months ago, I had nothing to say, but now I have a lot of stuff that I want to write about. But, you know, there's another half of me that's trying to be not so, I think maybe cynical in reference to when I start writing about things and kind of being more self-aware of the things I do in writing and the aspects of the industry that I could help, as opposed to just be like, ah, everything sucks. So I'm really working on that. But I mean, I think things are good. 2014 is looking smooth as hell. Let me just say that. Maybe that's what I've been doing.
Positive attitudes in 2014.
Baby looking smooth. Good.
Ooh, yeah. Real smooth.
I think you and I might actually talk about it on a future show. But yeah, I think we both winded down 2013 kind of on a put your head in the sand, kind of a bummer note with everything else kind of going on in games coverage. It just, I don't know if we, like, we're just in the day-to-day too much and just got kind of dragged down by some of the attitudes, but it just was not the happiness around video games was not seeping through like it used to. And so we're going to try to put some of that back into 2014 for us anyway. So, because I've been having a lot of fun myself, but that's just because I got a puppy. And it timed out well with it was not planned. Like it was kind of
it was not a planned puppy anymore.
You know, no, they just kind of showed up one day. But like it wasn't a long term plan. We've been talking about it for a while, but it ended up working out where we got him soon after the new year. And usually around the Grammys we take a couple weeks off. We took a little bit longer break this time. And part of that was due to the fact that I got puppy responsibilities, but the other is timed out with a little bit of burnout. Like I needed a breather from, you know, trying to finish all the games, the games you need to consider for awards. And I kind of burnt myself out at the end of the year. And so we've been kind of regrouping and I feel really good about that. And it's really easy when you got that little puppy running around. But, it's been a long time coming for me though, just to say, because I am allergic to dogs, and I just decided that, you know what, that's just all in my mind. So let's get a puppy anyway.
Yeah.
I have conquered it.
Have you really? I mean, your allergies aren't bad?
Yeah, I just ate peanuts every day, too. And he and I go lobstering back in the pond, and I cook those up every night. What else am I allergic to?
Freshwater lobster.
Yeah, it's really good.
Freshwater
Indiana lobster.
Oh, that sounds good.
Stick my arms straight into
poison ivy.
ain't that called crayfish?
Yeah.
Craydads.
Crawdads. Craydads. Craydads. Get these craydads out of this pond.
These craydads.
There's too many craydads in this pond.
Put them in the pot, these craydads.
Did your dog come with the Twitter account?
No. But we did have all the social stuff set up the week before we actually got him. So
that's It's a cute-ass dog. Every time Aubrey sees it, she, like, kind of pouts and, like, kind of shows me the picture, and I'm like, we're not getting a dog because you don't know how to take care of animals. And so, like, their dog is responsible enough to have its own social networking. If we had a dog, I don't think it could rise to that occasion. I follow your dog.
He's better at social media than me and my fiancé combined. So, Tumblr.
How does he compare to catwalks on keyboard?
He's got a ways to go. He needs a gimmick. What kind of gimmick should he have? I mean, other than...
You make him wear a hat?
He could help me recover that Twitter account because he got hacked and stolen. So.
Well, but yeah, he could, like, be the police investigator for other pets' social media accounts that have been hacked. That could be a thing. Call him up. We'll investigate.
Icy dog.
That sounds like a lot of effort on my part, though. So I don't think he'd really help out with
that. Sounds like a ton of effort, yeah.
And another random thing going on that I'm pretty excited about is we're going to start back up doing some social events here around Indianapolis. We've paired up with puregeekery.net. Nicole over there has had some ideas to get some events together, and some of them are going to be video game related. Others are just going to be more kind of geek interest related, and the first one I think it's pretty funny going on at the end of the month. We've got information about it on the site, but we're going to go roller skating and with the roller derby teams here in town. And
whoa, that sounds
really random, really fun.
Quite high on that one, yeah.
And I'm hoping that it's exactly like the roller skating rink that I grew up in, and that I could just play Splatterhouse the entire time. I haven't been over there yet, but that's what I'm counting on doing. So. Everybody else can
follow. I don't
know
if Splatterhouse is still there. Are you talking about the on the east side of Columbus?
Yeah, except we're going to, yeah. But now we're going to be on the east side of Indy. I'm assuming all roller skating rinks are the same in there.
Yeah, it's just
and they've been the same for 25 years, right? That's how that works.
How long has it been since you've roller skated or bladed? I think skates.
I would say over 20 years. It's got to be.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I was never an avid roller skater. I mean, I bought rollerblades and never used them. So I bought those like 15 years ago. I remember that was going to be my new exercise thing maybe 10 or 15 years ago too. So failed experiments. Yeah. So
yeah. Teach your dog to roller skate.
Oh, there you go. There's your gimmick.
Is that as cool as a skateboarding dog though?
I mean, skateboarding dog's already been done. Yeah, right. You gotta do something new.
You can throw a dog on a skateboard and push it, but a dog with roller blades has to.
It's gonna have some finesse, man. I mean, that dog's gonna look good.
I want him to
get it.
I want him to lead a rollerblading street gang of other dogs.
That's dangerous. Off little pocket knives in their mouth.
Yeah.
Pocket
oh God, run!
No.
These corgis coming down the street. They're right at Achilles' heel level too. So that would.
Oh whoa!
They only battle They'll through coordinated dance.
Oh, I would love that.
While on the blades.
Yeah.
I'm in. Don't talk about this if it's not going to happen. I'm pretty into this right now.
Aaron, what have you been up to?
I've been catching up on my backlog mostly, but that's boring shit. So let me tell you about a thing called the Lego Movie.
What?
Is it?
I saw the Lego Movie.
I was nervous to read any reviews. I don't know why. Like, I was so excited for this movie and, like, conceptually seemed awesome. And every time I watched the trailer, like, I loved it. And then I loved it a little less every time I watched it the next time.
I had the same reaction.
I was like, are these jokes any good? I don't know anymore. I'm just laughing because Batman's on the screen.
Haha, Batman. There is a song in the movie.
What?
In fact, really the only song. And that song is called Everything Is Awesome. And they do not lie. My wife and I went to see it. And when that movie ended, my face was somewhere seats behind me. And I was like, that was awesome. My face said it, because it was not on my head anymore. But it was a really fun, good family movie. I wasn't surrounded by kids, so that made it a positive. But it was just a ton of fun. The trailers, I thought, were getting to the excessive point, like they were going to spoil all the jokes and all the scenes and stuff. But when you see it all together, you kind of just forget some of that stuff, and it's just so charming and fun. And
that's awesome.
It has a really good story. I loved it. I listened to the soundtrack the first day at work, yesterday. Yeah, I listened to the soundtrack.
Really?
And while I was working, I was like, this is great. Hoobastank was just they're playing the reason just over and over again.
Oh, man.
You picked that ball up and ran with it. I appreciate that.
Yeah. No, it's got a really, it's kind of like a techno, like, just zippy soundtrack. It's hard to describe.
Techno-zippy.
I think people should listen.
Pharrell must be involved.
Pharrell in his RB hat just rocking that Lego Movie.
I don't know.
He should get another Grammy.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to get zippy. I didn't even realize there was a Lego Movie out. When did this happen?
It came out on Friday here in the States.
Huh. How'd you miss all that? Because like I heard about the Lego Movie by seeing a trailer for the Lego Movie the game first. Like I saw the game trailer for the movie, and I was just like, the world is just wrapped around itself. I don't know which way's up anymore.
I saw the game, and then I was like, that's weird. That's a weird name for a game, but what are you going to do? but yeah, clearly it made sense. Yeah. So. Cool. Hey, who doesn't love Legos?
The Lego Movie, the book.
The book, the game.
No, they don't actually put the game on it, but it is a game, and they never explain why they titled it that. But they are also sell books.
That would have been interesting.
That's called the soundtrack. The book's called the soundtrack.
The book is the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it's only available on Amazon if you have a Kindle.
I think you should all join me in the world of marketing. I think we're onto something.
Huh.
Just roundabout.
Yeah.
I don't know what I need to own to use this thing. No, it's a great movie. I think people should see it.
Cool.
I'm going to buy it on whatever DVD, Blu-ray. I bet something new will come out in 2 weeks.
Get it
and
on.
I'll buy it for that format.
What when shit, what was the what's the stupid electronic show? That was a while back, a month ago. Used to be a big deal.
Tech TV.
Not
The Discovery Channel?
No, the big conference where they announce all the TVs that are never going to come out. Anyway,
name CES or something.
CES, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
yeah, they were announcing, apparently somebody announced an 8K television at that event where...
8K.
And they haven't even really nailed down the 4K format yet, but... Yeah, maybe you can get the Lego Movie on 8K. That's where I was going with it. I just forgot every step along the way to making that point.
So. I want employees from Lego just to come to my house and then reenact the movie.
Oh, I'd like that. I just want to play Lego, actually.
I just want to buy some Legos.
I think
there's an awesome Lego store here, and every time I walk in there, I just realize how much better my childhood would have been if I had future Legos in the past. I mean, it's incredible. All kinds of stuff.
I mean, they just have so much better organization now, and you can go get the pieces you need if you're missing them.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's a great system. I think Neil Mar from chat's on to something, though, Ethan. Maybe it's called Das Lego Film in Germany. Maybe that's why you haven't heard of it. No?
No. Okay. That's not what it would be called.
Definitely not called that.
No, they have an American language, English language a theater here. I just didn't see it previewed, but and I even went to the movie. What did I see? I saw Anchorman 2 like 2 weeks ago, or a week ago. So yeah, I should have seen it.
We're called Das Anchorman.
Yes. Das Anchorman.
Yep, all of them.
Yeah. Zai, yeah.
Wow, we don't know what the hell to talk about. Aaron, you're up. Give me a game pitch.
A game pitch. So people know about the Winter Olympics. We were talking about that before this even started, And there's a game I really need to get back to called Papers, Please, and that somehow fused in my mind with the Olympics, and I was like, what if there's a game called Medals, Please? And it's just a bunch of Olympians like come up to you, and they're like, they want medals from you, but your job is just so hard and thankless and miserable, and you got to keep your family alive, but you only have so many medals. Do you have to decide who gets the medals?
I mean, I know Sochi's been bad, but the Olympics went downhill quickly when I wasn't paying attention. You just get medals by asking a dude for them?
Yeah.
Putin's got your family hidden away, and they've got bags on their heads, and he's like, you got to give out these medals to the right people, but you want to do the right thing and give them to the people that deserve them.
And there's a secret organization. You have to share this toilet with somebody for... days at a
time. They got half a toilet, and the water's brown.
So they don't even have to do sport anymore. It's like,
yeah, they don't do any
sport. Do we do sport, or we just go and talk to this guy? He's like, no, just I'm over here. Don't worry about the sport. I know you've been training for a long time.
Form an orderly line, up to this booth.
Okay, I think I can set this in reality more for you. I think, like, the Olympics occur as we're seeing them, right? You know, they do their events, they do their podium, they give them the medal, but they take them. What we don't see is they're taking the medals away from them after they get off the podium. They have to, like, you know, on their way out of the country, they have to report into this guy to get their medal, but they have to have all their papers ready to go because, I mean, honestly, if Sochi gets to hold on to some of these medals, that really helps their economy, so they've got some vested interest there. So that, I think that's your setup to why you have this line of athletes trying to get the medals from this random dude. But what are the antagonists here? Like, who are the other people in line? Like, I guess it could be a terrorist situation, but what else could be going
There's
on?
Always,
like,
terrorism.
Reporters? I think reporters posing as athletes could be a problem.
Yeah. Some athletes are evil, and they try to just run through, grab a medal. Don't even talk to you. Just grab a medal and just run through, and you gotta, like, unlock the case and get the gun out, and you had to kill an athlete.
Bob Costas is in line giving everybody pink eye.
Bob Costas, he comes up to your booth and just starts rubbing his face on you, and you're screaming,
trying to tell
you can't leave.
Trying to tell your story.
What about the parents of the Olympic athletes who force their children into grueling
schedules? This is my medal.
I earned this. But mom, I.
Sometimes
I wasn't a figure skater because I had you little bastard. Give me your gold medal.
Gosh.
You gotta send those parents to jail.
Suddenly this.
Sochi jail.
Bullet jail.
Bullet jail. It's up to you. Putin doesn't care as long as the job is done.
There's also got to be a really complicated section with the body scanner that takes away people's ice skates, because I feel like those are just... And a line full of Olympians is a very dangerous weapon. Are there any other weapons we need to watch out for?
People smuggling ice skates in their butts. Mm-hmm. And you gotta say, nope, someone's gotta get these out. You can't get your medal until you remove those ice skates, sir.
And one of the one of the rules for the day is curling is no longer a sport, so they don't get their medals.
And that's when you have to shoot a lot of people because they get really angry.
Have you seen some of the I don't know about the male curling teams, but the female curling teams?
I've not seen that yet.
I remember the last Winter Olympics, a couple of them were supposed to be pretty attractive. Is that what you're getting at?
They're all really attractive. It's okay. Like...
Yeah, prerequisite?
Yeah, yeah. Is it a sport? Do we want to give the viewers boners? Yeah, you know. They're good looking, and they take good care of themselves. Curling definitely requires a lot of squat thrusts and lunges before you can do it. So, yeah, I support it.
Is curling the volleyball of these Olympics?
I think so, the Winter Olympics, yeah. There's a lot of really beautiful people, and I guess young athletes are really attractive for some reason, so I don't know. Shake your fist at them, but yeah, geez Louise, it's all
young people.
I'm also imagining one of the bobsled teams going a little bit crazy and crashing the bobsled through the line or through the barriers.
Just through the
or try to sneak a bobsled up through their butt. Is that
all of them like a centipede?
Oh God!
There's very very little Winter Olympic sports equipment that can fit up your butt. So
let's go ahead and see if maybe we can name all the
challenge.
Pucks,
mouthpieces.
Okay.
Pucks, yes.
Skis.
Skis. At least the tip of them.
I tried to conceal only part of it. Yeah.
Just part of the ski is hidden. Yeah. That's enough.
The guns and the the cross country skiing.
Biathlon. Probably get one of those in there. Get a tube up there.
Yeah. Scarves. Or scarves official.
Scarves.
Hey, Rick, come here. I don't know. This dude's his butt is full of scarves. It's full to the max.
At least that opens up.
He needs some help. He really does.
That opens up the opportunity for a journey crossover. Because they can.
But the scarf gets longer.
They can come down during the skiing event.
They're pulling it. They're like, "Oh my god, dude! You don't have scarves where you're from?
You know how they have that?
Scarves are not illegal.
They have the dumbass mark.
As many as you want,
like towels at hotels.
They have the Mario and Sonic go to the Olympics every time they do the Olympics. Like, so you could play that game, but the game ends with this medals, please." I really want the like this fun game ending with like a really depressing game that isn't even of the same genre. I want those to be start to be paired up. I think I can
get behind that. I mean, to get medals, please, out there to the masses, we'll need some kind of attractive
Sonic means and Mario
to sucker everyone in. And what better than Sonic and Mario?
You make the plea to Sega and Nintendo. You're like, you need to be more indie. So, like, let's take this Papers, Please idea and tack it onto your Olympic game and see what we can smuggle up our butts.
We have no idea what you're talking about. What is this? What do you
smuggle
scarves up butts? I don't know if we have time for that.
It only takes a moment.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I want to know some of your gaming decisions lately, so we're going to go over your best and worst gaming decision of the past week or so, and then maybe something else that you're excited about coming up with games. Ethan, what have you been up to? What are some of your decisions lately?
Yeah, so some of the good decisions I've made, like I said previously, is not worrying too much on staying consistent with the new releases and going back and exploring my Steam library, and I've been playing a lot of Age of Empires 2 HD edition. I played it with my go-to co-op buddy, Matt, who lives in New York now. We've played real-time strategy games since college when we played Command & Conquer all the time. So we played Age of Empires today. I was going to say Call of Duty.
Yeah. Infamously, you skipped a podcast a long time ago for Command & Conquer Red Alert 2? Is that right?
Probably. It was Red Alert 3.
But I guess my question is, how many Command & Conquer games have you played with him?
All of them.
Okay.
I think you know what? I think we missed the shitty ones where it was like robots and the future, like Tiberium bullshit, all that bullshit. But yeah, dude, we played the hell out of Command & Conquer Generals and stuff like that. And so, you know, the other day, because, you know, he and I talk at least once a week, and we like to play co-op games, you know. And so I was like, oh, you should check out Age of Empires. And he got on it. He was like, oh, this is awesome. And so we played that today and just crushed some Persians, like just crushed them. It was,
they deserved
silly.
It. I saw them fun. In 300. They deserve it.
We gave them their comeuppance. I mean, it was fun. And so, I love those games. I love those games.
Did you kind of messaged me in a panic that we're not gonna be able to get to your article because of this game ran a little bit long.
I was writing notes today and we started playing. I was like, ah, shit. Well, like, playing video
when did you
games.
Know? When did you know you're in over your head with your Age of Empires session?
Probably when I had built a castle and then the Persians sent over. I have nothing against real life Persians, just so everyone knows. Well, not all of them. I looked up and they had all these elephants were coming at me. I'm like, oh, because there for a while they were kind of like poking at me a little bit. They were just sending one or two guys to kind of spy on me, and I was just annihilating them. And all these fucking elephants came, and I was like, fuck that. Don't you get your elephants up here. So we just massed our armies, and we just slaughtered those fucking elephants, man. I know they're extinct. Well, they're probably extinct to this day because of the shit that I did to those elephants. It was baby elephants, adult elephants. Every elephant I saw died.
I never knew that awesome. Video games had that type of impact on the environment.
Yep.
Wow.
the direct result for that. So you don't need anti-poachers. What you need is people to protect your elephants from me, because I'm gonna hit them with a trebuchet. So from
never,
a really long distance.
I never got into Age of Empires. I think I tried the first one that came with our computers back in the day when Microsoft was just doling it out.
Yeah.
And then this isn't the free to play one, right? This isn't.
No.
Okay.
That was like Age of Empires.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how old is this game? Is it like a decade? I'm guessing.
You know, I think it's about a decade, but the HD edition just came out within the last 6 months or so. I'd personally never played Age of Empires either. But I thought it looked cool, and I liked the progression. I liked kind of moving through different ages, and there's just a lot of different units you can get, and every of the different nations you can choose from. I mean, there's a ton of different things to choose from. They all look a little bit different aesthetically, and I don't know. It's a good, solid strategy game. It was right before the point where micromanagement was like the only thing to, you know, like everybody's like, oh yeah, we've got to make the next StarCraft, you know, where it was, you know, because I think a lot of real-time strategy games, which is why I think that genre sort of died off a little bit, is because people wanted it to be, you know, a sport, an e-sport, and this is not an e-sport. An Age of Empires match maybe look cool, but compared to, you know, your StarCraft 2s and whatnot, it's not going to be the same thing. So I like those old real-time strategy games.
I want somebody
to
try to pimp up an old or prop up an old strategy game to get it to be an e-sport of the level of StarCraft 2. Like, just I'm trying to think of what else. Dune all of a sudden shows up. Or
Total Annihilation.
Rampart. Rampart could be.
I mean,
that could be competitive.
Honestly, there's got to be some retro games that would hold up. Like, they might not have, like, you know, the leaderboard or the, like, you know, some of the fancy spancy, like, online code to get them to actually work. But technically, like, competitively, I think there's some retro games that, like with the right backing, could still make a splash.
Oh, yeah.
It might not be Age of Empires 2, but I would watch you and Hiddle play Age of Empires 2. I'm sure you get overly excited about elephants, and that I'm in.
Yeah,
and murdering them.
Yeah, but I was. Yeah, that's a good point. He does murder them. You sure that wasn't your worst decision?
Complicated elephants. Oh, man, I know. Elephants. Kill everyone. I'll shoot all your ticks off.
And I did. I mean, I killed them with arrows.
That's less impressive if it's an elephant dick. Let's be honest. Like, that's.
Oh, I think it's more impressive. Since you're huge, it's like.
I mean, that's of all of the like difficulty scale of shooting dicks off, elephants are like, they're pretty low on that scale.
Well, Yeah, I mean, blue whale, elephant, those are pretty easy shots to make.
Yeah,
so but to shoot it off with an arrow, that in and of itself is pretty impressive.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's some girth there. That's what I'm saying.
Aaron, what's the best decision you made?
The best decision I made was to start playing Bravely Default on the 3DS. Hell yes. I had gotten the demo when it first came out, and the first night I played that demo, I was like, seems like a turn-based RPG to me. Didn't really hook me until I realized I just didn't understand how to play that game the fun way, which was like utilizing, like, to brave is to use more than one turn in a single turn, and to default is to, like, stack up, I guess, the energy required to do that kind of thing.
Mike, seriously, they tied it that much into the title?
Yeah, it's in the title.
Whatever, it's a dumb title no matter what.
But it is a really dumb title, but it's a really fun game. And so when the demo hooked me and I was like, oh shit, I can attack enemies so many times and there's like a risk reward to, do you want to spend all the turns now and hope you just wipe out your enemies or kind of manage your turns? Once I realized that and got into the full game, I'm like, this is amazing. It's just, it's like a return to a Final Fantasy game that you actually want to play that is not 13.
Yeah, so this is one of those weird games that, you know, they never do early reviews anymore. Like, that, it just always throws me off when those happen. They usually don't happen. And people were starting to review this game like a week and a half ago, and I was like, I want this game. I'm like ready for JRPG, but I can't buy it. This is a very weird feeling for me. But so I ended up buying it this weekend, and I watched the intro and then got distracted by something, and that was the end of my experience. But I can't wait to play it, because everybody's saying it's just like, it's not like gonna reshape the world or anything, but like as a return to form for that genre, it's like it takes all the classic stuff, and if you want more of that, when's the last time you get to play something like that? So it's not developed by Square Enix. That's where I kept, like, people kept comparing it as the, saying this, like, the best Final Fantasy game that's not a Final Fantasy game. And,
I don't know. Do you see who developed it? I don't know who did.
I'm looking it up. So.
But, it does a really weird thing in the beginning, though. Not really so much spoilers, but,
Wait.
The 3DS.
You wake up.
You wake up.
As the classic. Your character wakes up.
The fairy talks.
Hello, young man. You've got amnesia. Let me help you.
There is a character of amnesia, but the 3DS, and I completely forgot it even does this thing. But using its cameras and those AR cards, it will actually try to display like an object in the real world, and the game makes you do that in the very beginning if you want to. And I'm like, oh, I'll, you know, humor me. It makes you aim it at the back of the instruction book. And then one of the characters from the game will act out a cutscene wherever you are. Like, so I was in my kitchen, which made it really weird, with her running back and forth all dramatically, kind of explaining the setup of this game. And I was like, what the fuck am I doing? But it was pretty funny, because then like a chasm opened up and she fell through my kitchen floor. And I was like, well, that just happened. I'm ready to play some Bravely Default.
Okay, so...
But fun game.
It's listing it as... developed by Silicon Studio and Square Enix, and published by Square Enix and Nintendo. So, for some reason, I didn't think Square Enix was attached to it. So, whatever.
Everybody wanted to dip their finger in that, didn't they?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, get your finger in that.
Makes sense on that platform. But I don't know. Yeah.
Smuggle
it
up your butt.
I wanted to, you know, what was it, last year, Ni No Kuni kind of gave me that JRPG fix, but I want a handheld, and... everything about Bravely Default looks great, except for the title and their insistence to have some of the main mechanics tie into the title. That seems a little JRPG to me.
Those games have awful titles. They always do. But, you know, it was funny, because last year I felt like you guys were really excited about Ni No Kuni, but then I feel like it dipped off pretty quick.
Because, you know what? Those games take a couple hours to play.
Yeah, they take a long time to get going. They take a long time to finish. Yeah. And but I think most of us liked Ni No Kuni. Yeah. Maybe the three of us that were playing it, but I don't know if any of us actually finished it.
I don't know.
I don't know. I can never get into them. I'm missing out on something, but I've always felt like the intros are too long.
Mm-hmm.
The build-up missions are too long. You've got like a solid almost like it was the same issue I had with Assassin's Creed 3. It just took too long to get to the actual game aspect of it. So I always had that issue with JRPGs. I'm sure I'm missing out on good storylines and whatnot, but man, I don't know. Maybe my patience is just kind of going away as I get older.
I've had trouble fitting this genre in as far in like really ever since college. Like as far as it's just you know, I dropped hundreds of hours into multiple Final Fantasy games growing up, but I don't have those types of play sessions in me anymore. Like but I don't know. Like I'll do it for Skyrim, so I don't know what the difference is with some of these other games. I still really enjoy them, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think with Skyrim you can just pause it and be done. Like, or you save and be done with it. I feel like these games, you kind of miss
get
out
back
on
to town
that because the story is a little bit more important. Yeah,
find
exactly.
Find that save point.
So,
I'm sure if it's a, this might work if it's a handheld game. Usually they're set up where you pick it up and put it down. So I'm not
Bravely Default's very accessible. You can save at almost any time. Okay. I haven't had any problems yet.
Cool.
And sometimes I'm saving multiple times, like 3 minutes, just because of like going to a shop. Buying something and saving again, and so it's a really good game just to pick up and go. And they even recommend you leave it on because there's like a village building aspect to it where villagers will take like 2 hours to build something, and that will give you benefits in terms of items and weaponry, armor you can buy in the store. So I left my 3DS on for coming up soon on 24 hours.
Whoa.
Just to have buildings complete.
Are you leaving it plugged in?
I did that with Cookie Clicker.
It's like Cookie Clicker. Yeah, you can plug it in.
It's more games.
3DS battery life.
Square Enix taking notes from Cookie Clicker. Oh,
I can't wait for those evil grandmas.
Oh, man.
Grandma Apocalypse. I got some of the guys in the office still playing Cookie Clicker. We talked about it at the Grimmies, and they started playing it at that point, and they're still making billions of cookies a second or whatever it is.
I got to a point... where I had a lot of stuff, and then I looked at what I was doing and how excited I was to see my progress. I was like, this is so stupid. So I cut myself off from the cookie clicker. Cold turkey. It's probably a good thing because...
Cold cookie.
Yeah.
Part of your diet, no more cookie clicker or cookies. My best decision lately was keeping up with The Wolf Among Us. Episode 2 came out last week, and unlike The Walking Dead, I'm playing these as soon as they come out. I can say that because there's only been 2, and I've had 4 months to prepare myself. So that was a little weird. As great as that first episode was, the fact that they really didn't capitalize on that momentum was surprising. It'll be really curious to see how fast episode 3 comes out, but I had a lot of fun in episode 2 just because, like I've said before about the series, I feel a lot more free in my decision-making than necessarily The Walking Dead, because The Walking Dead... Even if I don't know the story, like I know, like I have an idea of what a zombie apocalypse is and how I want to tailor my characters to try to survive. Now I'm just playing some cop that I don't really understand, and I just kind of go with my gut on every decision, and it's very freeing to play this. And Aaron commented while I was streaming the game that has kind of led me to be a little bit bipolar with Bigby because
just a little.
You know, this is actually more of like a crime investigation game, and the game kind of opens up with a interrogation scene, and you have the option to ask the guy questions or you know, try to motivate him by you know, using evidence or you know, punching him a lot, and you know, I'm still figuring out like how that plays into, you know, I have this when I have the option to like punch a guy or pick up an item and show it to him. I kind of have this multiple step process in my head, like, you know, I'm going to show him this and then I'm going to punch him, or I could punch him, then show him it, and then ask him the question. But
strap that thing to your fist and punch him with it.
With the thing. Yeah, I have all these other ideas, but really, The Wolf Among Us just wants you to, you get one choice, and then you're on to the next round of questioning. So that was a little tough to figure out on the fly, but also kind of hilarious because I was all over the place. And I'm just, I don't know, I don't care, and that's very awesome to me, because usually any game where I can make these types of decisions, I want to craft the story like and be very intricately involved in all the details, and I'm just kind of enjoying The Wolf Among Us, and other than it being a little bit shorter than I expected, I really liked episode two, like where the story's going. I felt kind of bad because I'm going to post the final episode of my playthrough on Wednesday. But that the entire last section of that game, I'm sitting there kind of ripping on one of the characters that's on screen because there's a couple of characters in the game I just don't like them as people. Like it's not acted badly. They don't annoy me in the story. It's just like I don't like you. I don't care about your motivations. I want my character to move beyond your character.
Yeah,
and then
definitely.
And right after that like whole scene with that character I don't like, the episode was over. I was like, oh, I didn't want to end on kind of that negative note, but I like the twists and where the story's been going. So you know, I still would wait and see when these what Telltale does with the rest of the schedule for this series, but definitely when all the episodes are out, I highly recommend checking it out. And I can't wait for episode 3.
And I've been following along with it too, and I played it that weekend when they sorted out the Xbox 360 version of the season pass. They had some issues with giving people episode 2, but there were some choices I made in episode 1 that were different than yours, and so I got to see things from a slightly different perspective. But all in all, episode 2 is a little more, I guess, honed in on its storyline, very little deviation, I guess.
Yeah, there wasn't very much choice.
The crux of it.
But I still
not a lot of choice.
I still like, you know, in the moment, in the interrogations, when you're questioning people, I feel in control of the tone of that, and I like that. Like, granted, like you may be funneling you into one or two outcomes from that don't deviate, you know, say as much as some of the stuff in The Walking Dead, but Telltale's kind of proved to me I kind of trust in their narrative, whatever they're going to tell around this, so I don't really...
Yeah,
I feel
too.
Like I have the choice. I don't really worry about overanalyzing that too much. But as someone that played episode 2, how did you feel you handled the nightclub scene versus how I handled it? Were you proud of yourself, or did I do it better?
Thank you. I think the most accurate thing I can say is that we did it differently. I mean, whereas you probably went more with what was in your nature, you know, in the moment, because you hadn't seen it before, but I watched you play that entire episode. And so when I went into it, I'm like, okay, I know what's going to happen here, and what do I want to do? And then my brain put me into a situation of, I'm just going to alternate between being nice and being bad.
That's kind of...
Kind of like, you know, I'm giving you a chance to make me stop the bad stuff by being nice to you. But
I got this cricket bat, man, and...
I had the cricket bat, and so, you know...
Outside of Zombie U, how often do I get that opportunity?
Yeah, you don't get... I've never touched a cricket bat once in my life. they're fictional to me as far as I know. Is cricket a thing?
Yeah. Now, I just want to be careful. Like, do not project on how I play this game onto the type of person I am. I am playing
You can't do that.
No, I am playing my version of Bigby, who is the big bad wolf. So I'm not going to be afraid to show some teeth every now and then. So, nah, that game's really
fun. The game kind of even... sets you up as being the big bad wolf, and that a lot of people's perceptions of you are already negative.
Yeah,
it seems.
Yeah, and I don't know
if you try to play that game nice.
Yeah, I don't know if you're trying to break that, but that just like that's so heavy-handed that I was like, no, I'm not a crazy big bad wolf, but like I'm gonna use my strengths, man, to solve this crime. Plus, like, you've made this kind of personal along the way, so I don't feel bad about I don't feel bad about the people I've hurt so far.
I mean,
again, as that character, not me as a person. I'm a good person. I don't hurt people.
Yeah, me as a person, I hate everyone.
Justin, do you feel like you have to start saying that now, since a lot of your characters tend to turn into assholes?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, always in the like, you know, the moral choice games, I always go with the evil character first because they're more fun. Yeah, I don't know. Like Aaron kind of made me a little bit sensitive to that fact because he watched me play those sections and questioned my decision making. We'll see. I'm just kind of now. I'm kind of glad I didn't live stream Mass Effect, especially my Renegade playthrough, because that would raise some interesting questions. But Ethan, what was your worst decision in gaming?
My worst decision was not reading into the fact that Castle Doctrine was not ever meant to be a game.
What?
It was meant to be some sort of a statement. And getting excited about Home Defense. Here's the thing that...
I feel bad because I got excited about that for you, and damn it.
You know, I like the concept of it. I like the idea that you've got a defense game where you also have the opportunity to test that defense, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, so you're able to go to other people's houses. And then the castle doctrine, the whole idea behind it is you're trying to protect your house, your money, your family, while also trying to break into other people's houses. And it's a massively multiplayer game. It's interesting on paper. Mechanically, awful. it's not a trap game as much as it's a mechanism game. So for people that love to toy around with Redstone and Minecraft, oh, it's probably the perfect game for you. But there's no like immediate like satisfaction with what you're doing. It's got a roguelike element in the sense that if you die, you lose all your progress. Now, in most roguelikes, that works because it's easy to get started, okay? Look at Dungeons of Dreadmore. Not only is it easy to get restarted, it's fun. You want to see new things, and that's cool. Castle Doctrine, if you made a really intricate, you know, defense for your home and you die, you have to start completely over again. There's no saving a blueprint of your house. There's nothing like that. You have to earn all your money back, and essentially what happens, I did not get far enough to get to the point where I had so much money that I got into this way of playing, but suppose that you're supposed to make so much money that you just don't do anything. You just kind of wait and you know, fawn over your house and make sure. The pretentiousness of this game is what gets me, because this is exactly what happened in the indie movie scene,
right?
When that first blew up. So, you know, for anyone that likes movies, the indie scene in the beginning was independent filmmakers. The classification of indie was not, it wasn't a genre. It was just independent filmmakers. Mm. And then studios got involved with it and turned it from independent filmmakers to indie is a mentality, indie is a way of storytelling and that kind of stuff. And a lot of those movies came out and they just weren't, there's nothing good about them. They wanted to make you think, but it was awful. But people bought into it, not unlike people buy into some abstract art that could just be someone shitting on a, you know, canvas. It's like, oh, well, this guy thinks that's really good.
Bought a few of those.
Mechanically, I was going to say, it's to me, and I think it's really interesting because there's some people that saw through that on the Castle Doctrine, and there's some people that think it's just, oh, this is really, I mean, there's some really clever mechanics here. And there are some clever mechanics here, but it's broken. It's disjointed. It's not fun. I mean, also, the other aspect of it is if you didn't get in early on the game, so if you weren't one, I mean, when you rob someone's house as you go and they're making more money, their traps are way more intricate. So for you to beat these traps is all but impossible. I mean, there's a lot of trial and error involved in it, and you can't do that because you're going to die, you know. So it's not like you're learning, again, I'm going to reference back to Dungeons & Dreadmore. You play Dungeons & Dreadmore, you die, you've learned a lesson. You've learned what to avoid. In this game, you're not going to see the same layout of a house. You're not going to use the same kind of tools until you make that money. And so it's just this cycle of like, you know, by the end of it, I was making a house and I was like, you know, I'm not having fun with this. I'm not going to play anymore. You know, I get the message. We're all greedy as hell. I get it. We care more about money than our families. Like that's like, it was so heavy handed that I just kind of got annoyed by the end of it. I was like, I don't, you know, there's nothing wrong with stepping outside of the, you know, what gaming has become as of late, which is, you know, not super cerebral, but to go and to just be so like the guy that made this game knew that only like 10% of the people were going to get it, and that's all he cared about, and he was like, well, that's fine because I'm making a statement of it. Anybody else is going to, you know, feel stupid and that's whatnot. But I like that is not the direction we need games to go in. We need games to have good storylines and good mechanics and not validate either one of them because you can't come up with it, you know? And so this game just, to me, it was like...
So how far into playing it did you pick up on that stuff, or did you know that going in? Because I hadn't read any of the side stuff with it.
I heard some weird... I read some interviews and some quotes from Jason, I can't pronounce his last
Mraz.
Name. Jason Mraz is in this game. But some interviews just where he got into this, he's kind of like, He just got onto some subjects of protecting what is yours, and he's not the type of person that should probably be speaking on that. I guess I'm going to generalize this as much as possible because I don't want to get into all the interviews. And so he sat, like, when I first saw the Castle Doctrine, I was like, this is a good idea. But as soon as he started talking, not unlike a Phil Fish or Jonathan Blow, it's like, don't talk.
Say,
like,
Jonathan
once you
Blow
start talking, these guys would probably have great conversations. And then once I got into the game, I try to ignore that stuff because the fact of the matter is, developers spend all their time doing all the, you know, creating these projects, and you know, they're not always ready to explain. They're not going to be able to explain to the casual person exactly how they're feeling, and they can come across bad sometimes, and I understand that. But 2 hours into playing the game, or maybe it was even an hour into playing the game, I was like, I'm not having fun, and I feel like I'm being hit over the head. And then I thought back to the trailer, which, you know, at first I was like, oh, this is a clever trailer, and then I was like, no, it's not. It's nothing clever. You're telling me I'm an asshole because I'm playing games in a way that I'm not thinking. I don't know. The whole time I just felt like somewhat demonized, you know, like, oh, this is, gamers are kind of shitty. You know, like modern day humans are kind of shitty. I'm like, we don't need to keep being reminded of that. There's this anti-mainstream movement going on in games right now that I'm so sick of.
I picked up a little bit. I've just noticed that again recently. Just a few of the stuff I've been reading and listening to around like the DICE Awards and how mainly those awards deal with AAA games and the big games, and they kind of, you know, you can't say the word indie around them. And I've never picked up on that before. I just thought, you know, I don't know. I innocently kind of look at, like, you know, they gave the game of the year to the same thing we did. And, you know, but along the way, we talk about indie games and other genre awards, and I never picked up on that with DICE. So that was that's going to be an interesting battle, because, I mean, I'm sure in the development side, like, you look at all the stories of development studios getting started up by, you know, guys that have worked on a couple guys that have worked on some big game, and they're leaving that giant team. I'm sure there are, you know, pockets of developers on both sides that kind of resent the other side. And you haven't really seen that pop up too much, but you might be onto something there. Only thing I want to say about Castle Doctrine, because I got excited about it for you. The whole mechanic of, you know, you essentially build your house, lay traps for other people to solve. I like that, the aspect of once you've kind of set your house, you upload it, and other people get to try to take a crack at it, and you get to see how they performed, and you can, you know, get money and that stuff that way. And you can also go try to break into other people's homes. And then that whole, like, slightly disturbing aspect of when you try to break in somebody else's home, like, their family's there, and they have to, like, they react to you like the wife has a shotgun and that kind of stuff. Like, premise-wise and mechanics-wise, that's why I was excited about it. And I thought, you know, that's where the conversation would go. But, I didn't even follow up on the story what he was intending by this game, because I just thought mechanically it sounded kind of cool. And in that regard, Epic Quest for Loot, that Ubisoft game, that free-to-play game they've been working on, apparently has some of the same stuff as far as you build a castle and you upload it and you try to break in other people's castles and vice versa. So that might actually be more up my alley, because it sounds like it doesn't, you know, that game's just silly and is building up some steam. So maybe that one's fun. And Castle Doctrine, it can leave the rest of its shit at the door, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, and I mean, and I think with the mighty quest for Epic Luke, hey, it's me. But I mean,
what's up, Luke?
Your reward, like the thing. Here's the thing about games: simple enough. Reward your players, make them feel like, okay, the time I've spent has not been wasted. That's all you have to do. And roguelikes do that, because when you do well in that, okay, you're like, oh, great, like I've beat the game. That was tough. You know, I remember beating FTL. That was great because that took a lot of time. But the whole time I played, I learned something new. This game doesn't reward you for doing anything. Its point is for you not to keep doing anything. And I'm like, that's not a game. That's, you know, a pretentious conversation you have at a bar with someone that you're too, you know, insecure to argue with, but you can be passive aggressive the whole time. You know what I mean? Like, that's just, I don't know. It's a missed opportunity. And, you know, I'm sure people will be like, ooh,
fuck you, dude, but,
you know, I'll fight you. I'll fight everybody. No, I'm just kidding. I won't do that. Yeah, don't buy that game. Don't wait. It's $11.99. And the whole bullshit, and he had an interview about not selling games at discount, Elvis. Like,
yeah.
Dude, get with the pro. Who are you? Who Everyone's are you? Doing that. I mean, no one's, there's people that are like, I only want to spend $5 for a game. There's people like, I want to spend, you know, I don't want anyone to have my game on. It's just like, what is, I don't know. Get with the program, man. Get with it. You're so disconnected. You haven't, I don't know. He's made a few critically acclaimed games, but I don't think he's in a state where he can start kind of like judging the Steam sales, which have made a lot of indie studios a lot of money based on these huge discounts. So, that's all I got. I wasn't trying to be too negative, sorry.
Yeah, that's not where I was going with that. I was like trying to find things we can improve upon, but I had no idea of the backstory there. Aaron, what was your worst decision? Was it does it have like a side story quite as interesting as that?
No.
Okay.
So my worst decision was revisiting a little game starring Miss Ellen Page called Beyond Two Souls for the first time.
It was The Last of Us.
I mean, The Last of Us. Juno, the movie. Those
jokes
the
never
game.
Get old.
And so I started playing it this weekend and trying to get used to the controls.
Did you rent it? Did you rent it or did you buy it?
I rented it. I rented it. I did not own this game. And so after I got over not being able to press X to shout Jason in the beginning, I got to the point in the game where whatever her name is that I've already forgotten goes to a birthday party. And she wants to be a normal teenager and fit in with everyone. And I kind of heard stuff about this birthday party before, and people were like, oh, did you terrorize those kids at the birthday party, or did you not do that?
Yeah, Aaron,
like,
did you terrorize those kids at the birthday party?
Did you terrorize those kids? And so I got there, and I tried to fit in, but I tried to also keep my distance, already knowing that I'm like, these kids are kind of maybe going to try to be assholes. Some of them are giving me a little bit of shit. Like, they give you a task to go turn the music on. And I'm like, oh, this is like the worst task to give like the outsider, because I'm sure they all love
investigate and figure out what type of music they like.
Was there an option to say
hit X to ask what are the kids into these days?
What do you guys like to listen to?
It doesn't matter. Put in Richard Marx, you'll always win. Always brings a party.
Always Richard Marx. And so I entered some George Carlin. Comedy, and they were like, what the fuck is... So I went over there, and I had some simple choices, like genre choices. Like, you can play the pop, or you can play rock. You can play country, or just leave the whole damn thing alone. And I was like,
just sit there and twerk.
Yeah, just sit there and twerk. her name is Jody. So I have her lean in there, staring at the stereo, trying to make a decision, like, what do I want to listen to versus what do these kids probably want to listen to?
Fuck those
And so I'm
kids.
Like, I'm just going to play rock. And, like, rock seems fine enough. Like, country is subjective. Pop is subjective. I feel like rock, we can all get behind this.
Rocks.
As soon as the rock starts playing, this girl walks guitars. Over to me and goes, what is this old stuff you're playing? Here, let me take care of it. And I want to reach through the screen and just choke her out right there and at this other girl's house. Just fight this chick. Like, hey, I put rock on. It was my task. You were asked to what? Go unfold some chairs or something.
Fuck
get away
you
from the
for
stereo
not liking Bon Jovi.
Before I stab you. Yeah.
Well, what rock song was it though?
It was just some generic, you know, nondescript. It? You know, we're making a video game and we don't want to license music.
Was it E6?
We spent all our money on Willem Dafoe.
It was Willem Dafoe's band playing some rock. And so she changed it to pop. I was mad, but I'm like, okay, I'm not going to let this affect anything. And so they start asking me some questions, and I'm like, they're like, we hear you work with my mom in the lab or something. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. And we hear you got some powers, and I'm like, I don't want to talk about that.
Don't ask. I just met you. Don't ask me about my powers.
I'm like, don't ask me all these personal questions. And so I kind of just, you know, walk around the room, get a feel for what's going on. This guy starts talking to me, and he's trying to be all nice and charming. And I'm like, dude, I'm a man in control of this female character. I know what you're getting at here. And so I'm putting up walls. Like, he's like, you want to go slow dance with me? And I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. I'll go fit in, but I got my eye on you, man. And so we start slow dance into this dumb pop, and he's asking me, he's like, oh, you're really pretty, and like you have the option to either return the compliment or kind of just shrug it off. Yeah. And I'm like, why would I? What am I gonna tell him? You're really handsome, man. I just met you. And so I'm like,
you're
oh,
a handsome
thanks.
Man, man.
You got strong arms. So I kind of shrug him off. And then at a certain point, his hands start to gravitate down towards your butt, and you have an option to let him do that or to just, you know, put his hands back where they were. And I immediately am like, no, you don't
press
you dare.
Square. Press square to protect the butt.
Yeah, press hey, square man, to protect
the
ass.
Get some hands away from my butt.
Get your burly arms away from my
burly. Get your burly hands away from my
I said you have nice
butt.
Arms. Your hands are decrepit and ugly.
Yeah, so
why
I shut him down.
Why are you putting
there.
Scarves into my butthole?
This is where I keep my scarves. That's he's after my scarves.
If you want a scarf, you have to ask.
Yeah, ask.
I don't just give these away. You gotta get permission.
Butt scarves.
And so I shut him down there. He tries to lean in and get a kiss. I shut him down there. I'm like, dude, this dance is over. Yeah, like, you get
put
away
on
from
the rock.
Me. Rock. I switched it back to rock. And so. You get to the, it's the birthday party, like I said, so you get to the part where the girl's opening gifts. And
what'd you get her?
First,
the gift card?
So Willem Dafoe gives you the gift that you're going to give the girl, and he's like, oh, it's a book of old Edgar Allan Poe poetry. It's a rare book, and she'll like it. And I'm like, he set me up to fail.
Yep.
With these fucking kids Dafoe. I don't know. Fucking Dafoe. And so they open someone else's gift, and it's something stupid and dumb, and the girl's like, oh, this is amazing. And I'm like, oh, shit, don't open my gift next. And so then she opens it, and she's like, what is this?
This is just
and
awkward.
So, yeah, Ellen Page has to describe it. Oh, it's a really rare book of poetry. It's like, it's rare. She like keeps emphasizing it. It's rare, because really the only like positive
it's
thing
not
you can
any
say
good,
about this.
But it's
book,
rare.
It's rare. You know, it's going to be worth a lot of money. You could pay for college by selling this book, I think. And so she's like, oh, what are you trying to do to me? And I was like, God, can I just leave this party? Terrible and so point. Then the kids all gang up on me. They start tormenting you, and they lock you under the stairs. And then this is where the ghost entity, Aiden or Aiden or whatever. Aiden, yeah. This is where he comes into play. And so he lets you out from underneath the stairs, and you have the option to get revenge or just leave. And I'm like, no, we are not leaving this house until kids are messed up. And so he locks them in that he room. Snapped. Flies in there, and what happens afterwards is so, it's so fulfilling, so cathartic that it should be illegal.
And evil, I'm sure.
It's so evil, yeah. And so the kids are sitting around the cake, they're about to cut the cake, wait. And the first thing I do is just blow that cake up in their faces. And they're like, oh, and it's like, they blame it on each other, like, what'd you do? And he's like, I don't know.
I officially am no longer worried about Aaron judging me.
Yeah, I'm giving you ample ammunition for what makes me feel good. And so the kids, they're stunned by the cake exploding in their faces. And so then I flip the table over, and then that's when they start to catch on that, whoa, stuff is happening now. And so they start to panic. They try to leave. The door is locked.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden, I'm like throwing chairs at them.
It's a wrestling match.
Lamps, anything that's not nailed to the ground suddenly takes flight and is aimed straight for any child that I just want to get revenge on. So yeah, chairs, tables, books, pots and pans. I mean, there
ladders?
Are things I wanted to throw and it wouldn't let me throw, but I wanted to smash
cage.
The TV. Ladders, elephants.
Cut a promo.
Could you throw kids at kids?
They wouldn't let me, but that would have been.
And now,
I mean, why? You know, cut out the middle man. Just throw the kids at the other.
I
kids.
Now think
the kids are the kids.
I needs to be the ghost of a professional wrestler.
Body slam, yeah, body slam that birthday girl.
DDT, oh yeah.
A nice pile driver. So yeah, so
then she got, oh no, the backbreaker.
And so like the mother comes back and the birthday girl's like saying I'm evil or I'm the devil or something, and Willem Dafoe's got this shocked look on my face, like, and I'm like, Dafoe, what did you think was gonna happen when you gave me this book as the gift?
Dafoe, you fucked up.
Dafoe,
you fucked up. You did this, up. Edgar Allan Poe.
That's all.
How old were the kids?
If I played that game, that's all I would be. I would just come on, Dafoe.
Dafoe, you meant well.
The fuck are you doing, Dafoe?
You're a terrible
you
father, Dafoe. Father figure.
Fucked up, Dafoe.
Father figure. So yeah, it's a pretty fun scene. It's a It might be all you need to play of that game. I played a little bit more of it, but that's the part that stands out to me is just tormenting children.
Yeah, I was going to say, so it's your worst decision because you kind of regret the evil that you caused, I guess, but it was so much fun.
It was so much fun. Like, I could have just walked out. I could have walked out and been the better person, but I was like, nope, these kids aren't real. They're getting messed up. Even if they were real, I probably still would have done it. I don't know. Kids. Listen,
I'm teenagers. Totally fine with you judging me now, so it doesn't bother me a bit. My worst decision is I waited to play Jazz Punk. I still haven't played it yet, and I didn't really realize what the game was or that it was coming out last week when I was kind of making my plans to play some other games, and I just made the wrong choice. That was obviously the new release to play last week, and I purposely stayed away from your stream because I wanted to... I mean, that game is all comedy. It's all... It's like a Gone Home type game with jokes, endless jokes.
Just endless irrelevance, whatever, all the errors. The game just goes on and on. Just anything that happens in that game is probably funny.
It was a couple hours long?
Yeah. I finished it not too long after I think you left the stream. Okay. So I was more than halfway through the game.
I saw
at
you
that
like
point.
Were you vacuuming bugs in a kitchen, but the bugs were like little bugs or something. It was just weird, and I like weird, and I've heard good things about the, you know, everybody kind of talk about how hard it is to do comedic writing for video games, and that this is one of the better ones. So I don't know, it's just that little genre around I don't know, Gone Home, Stanley Parable, is getting kind of interesting, and this is another one to throw into that basket. So I chose the wrong new release, and not to take anything away from Aqua Kitty, because I enjoyed Aqua Kitty. But Jazz Punk was the I'll need to circle back around to that soon before it. I don't know, those games are those like 2-hour games are they easily get pushed back to the backlog, and then a couple months go by and you feel, I don't know, there's nobody to talk to about it anymore, so I need to finish it while people are still
just
buzzing about.
Just put on your fuzzy slippers, get a bucket of popcorn, and play Jazz Punk.
All right. Can I get some drinks too?
No drinks.
Nope.
All right.
You fucked up, Defoe. No drinks.
No, Defoe? We're just 7-Up. I told you to get some 7-Up, Defoe.
You have one job, Defoe. Just 7-Up.
Just bring us some 7-Up, Defoe. Is that Diet Sprite, you fucking dick? Go back, go home, Defoe. Take your Poe with you.
What are you doing, Defoe?
Do they make lemon lime slice? Is that a thing? I know they do the orange slice. What's the other?
There's got to be.
Sprite 7-Up, what's the, like, Sprite 7-Up competitor? What's the, like, the lesser one?
Oh, Sierra Mist?
Yeah, that's okay. I felt like there was a... Oh, doesn't matter. Ethan, what are you excited about coming up?
You know, I've been playing a lot of Grim Dawn. I kind of talked a little bit about it a while back, but it's still in alpha. I got through the first act, which is what's been made available, and I'm really digging. I think it's funny because I can go through these phases of getting tired of action RPGs and then liking them again. And I really love the aesthetic. I think it's kind of cool to play a gritty RPG again. One where no one's really happy. You never fight smiling raccoons or, you know, fluffy clouds or anything like that. You fight corpses and demons. And
yeah, I mean, because Path of Exile was way too happy.
Well, Path of Exile is Path of Exile was pretty
grim.
It was pretty grim, but I think the thing with Grim Dawn that I like is Path of Exile to me got to, which it's a really good RPG, mm-hmm. but it is a grindy action RPG. That's sure. kind of the intent of it, which is fine. Mm-hmm. Whereas Grim Dawn to me feels a little bit more open. You know, there's side quests and that kind of stuff that you're doing. You've got a hub that you're working out of. There's things to discover. Cool. To me, it feels a little bit more complete. Are you going to get as much replay value out of it? More than likely not, compared to Path of Exile. And Path of Exile is still a strong game, but I really dig Grim Dawn, and it's a completely different look and a completely different time period. I mean, the 1800s-esque aesthetic. So there's guns and there's swords, but you're basically, your armor's scrap and fur coats that you've scraped together to, like, I mean, it's a cool aesthetic.
Fur coats are really wrong, Ethan.
Well, they keep you warm though. Oh, in the apocalypse, fuck! Come on, come on, PETA. Like, I'm not gonna put that on. It's cold out. You'll put it on, you dick. I got some damn zombies out here.
The lone member of PETA that survives the apocalypse and is trying to still enforce their agenda.
Oh, that'd be awful. Yeah. But you guys, by the way, have to shut the fuck up. Shut up, PETA.
So
Defoe, get him out of here.
Defoe.
Grim Dawn, it's still early release, early access, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Are they talking about any ramp up to a full release? Should I wait at this point? Or should I dive in?
I would wait. I would wait a lot. It's been cool to see the improvements of it because I jumped into it because I just liked, you know, I liked Titan Quest, and I like the feel, and I wanted to see how this game progressed, and it's been cool to see some changes they've made to it. The graphics look like they keep getting better. The game feels smoother, and so I'm like, okay, for me it's kind of cool to see that progression, but for most people I would say give it another year. I think it's still probably about a year off, you know.
Isn't that crazy?
Only got the Act 1, you know. I mean, it's but they're taking their time. Cool. The community's doing a good job of finding the bugs and that kind of stuff. So,
and
I mean,
does it have any free to play or microtransaction stuff built in?
No, you buy the game, and based on, I mean, if you're looking at Path of Exile, like Grim Dawn, I believe is $29.99 or $39.99. So, I mean, if you're not really into the genre, I mean, I'm really into the genre. I realize that more and more every day. So
that's in between Torchlight and Diablo.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, right there in the middle. And I think that's, I mean, you know, Torchlight 2 was,
I think,
an
Torchlight
unbelievable
is
value.
Underpriced. I mean, but
Yeah,
it absolutely is. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you're looking for something new and you really like to click on things and get treasure and, I don't know. I dig it. Goodies. I dig it. And I like how they're not just putting you down a hallway, because a lot of action RPGs have gotten in the habit of you're just walking from point A to point B, but you do it over and over again. This game is kind of letting you branch out a little bit. It doesn't hold your hand while you're playing either. So I do. I definitely appreciate that.
Cool. Aaron, what are you excited about?
I'm excited about a thing that you wrote on here for me, which is Warframe.
That's how I roll as host. I fill out your notes for you. Don't leave any holes.
So, yeah, just do all the work. And so, after watching you and Coop play Warframe a bunch and still not getting it to work on the computer that I want it to work on, I played it on my laptop, and I'm like, I've only done the tutorial. I want to see if I even like this game. And then I think it was the same day, that same Thursday you were streaming, you guys had left, and next thing I know, it was almost like,
myself now.
It was late. Yeah, it was. I was playing solo, and it was late. I'm like, I need to go to bed, but I want to play more Warframe. I want to be better. I don't want to be a zero anymore. I don't want to be like Defoe. And so, and so I was playing it over, it's just Defoe.
Defoe.
And so I played some over the weekend. I mean, Justin, you and I got to play just part of a match. I didn't realize you had invited me because I alt-tabbed out.
You actually played the full thing. I was just kind of messing around at the beginning. So
that was the full thing? Okay, I didn't realize. So yeah, it was cool that we got to play a level together. And I knew what I was doing. I had some mods on me. It's kind of it's a fun game. It's nothing like out of the ordinary, I guess, in terms of
it's not exceptional anyway, but it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool, and
it's just kind of fun. You can run and slide, and you can jump kick sometimes.
Space ninjas.
And you're in space. You're a space ninja.
Yeah, they're space ninjas. I need friends. I played it a couple times. I need friends. It's not a long game.
So I'm trying to figure out. Coop and I are trying to figure this out. It might work later. Four people seem to be a little bit overwhelming. Like, I really like playing two people. I want to try it with three and see how that balances out. We keep playing through the same intro sections because we started over with our Warframes, and I think we're gonna probably play Warframe for the next at least a couple times a month going on our Thursday co-op streams. So be on the lookout for that. But so we're leveling our guys up, and I'm interested to see how the later stuff goes. Definitely. Yeah, I really like. I've started playing the game a little bit solo. I kind of like the stealthy nature of it, or just like trying to. Basically, when you get spotted trying to kill all the dudes before they set off the alarms, that the kind of speed and challenge there. I'm really getting into the melee combat in the. It's got some parkour. Parkour navigation to it, and yeah, I I dropped some more cash into it this weekend. I got another Warframe and got some other cool guns. Like, I'm not trying to spend too much money on it, but like the way I'm kind of approaching these free-to-play games I keep revisiting, I'll kind of look at it like I'll spend as much as I would if I was subscribed to the game if it was like an MMO. So I usually give myself a $5 or $10 budget a month, and I try not to spend multiple times. But that's just my personal approach. And got a couple cool guns. They're doing weird things, and I don't know. It's just the game's just fun to play because the action's just enjoyable. And
It's got a fun feedback loop to it.
Mm-hmm.
I might do the same thing you're doing, like dropping those $5 to $10 into it. I mean, if we stick with it, and it sounds like we will, I might want to spruce up my Warframe because I feel pretty lackluster in comparison to the two of you.
Yeah. So what we figured out, like, so you know your weapons level up and your Warframe levels up. We just bought new Warframes and we're using our kind of powered up weapons. So trying to get that balance, I can appreciate that. Like, I always like to be around the same level as the people I'm playing with. So. We can mix and match and figure that out, but I read up on it and kind of figured out how the mod system works, and it's not the most straightforward thing in the world, but I don't know, the kind of low barrier of entry with it being free to play, it's hard not to recommend it to anyone. And I guess Coop tried it out on the PlayStation 4, and the HUD even looks better on that system. So I think you'll see Warframe for the next couple months here. We're pretty excited about it.
Warframe for life.
And speaking of live streams, I'm just kind of excited to get back into live streaming. And, we've got Warframe going on. We're going to try out PlanetSide 2 for the first time in a long time this Thursday. So if you guys want to play with us, we'll be on Thursday starting at 10 p.m.
Upgrade
Eastern.
Your game.
But yeah, upgrade your game because they did some massive patches to it. So I've even got to double check that. I mean, we're probably talking, 8, 12 gigs of updates, if not more.
Oh, man.
And then I'm going to be streaming The Witcher 2 this weekend. Missed my opportunity last weekend, but real excited tonight. I'm going to stream Metal Gear Rising Revengeance because way back when it had its console release, I did a Game Curious video of it, of the demo, and I was really, really bad at the game. Like, terrible. I blame Devil May Cry for that because Devil May Cry is very much offensive, stylish action, and apparently I missed this in the tutorial. Revengeance is more about like parrying and defense.
Yeah.
And using those and
a whole lot.
I'm not very good at that. So I'm looking forward to streaming and struggling until I figure it out and then having ridiculous Metal Gear stuff happen. So I'm really excited about a couple of these games and I'll be sticking with them for a while. So a final pitch. Let's see. What do I got? What did I have earlier? Oh, so we've been playing, still doing our weekly arcade challenges and started to do like interview videos and that kind of stuff with it. And last week's game was a big hit, Robotron 2084. And I kind of want to revisit that genre because I was talking about that game and then Puppy Games, they released Ultratron last year, which is kind of a homage back to that game. And then looking at the actual plots for these games, they're really messed up. Robotron's plot like essentially just says, save the last human family. One, it doesn't tell you if you're also a human or a robot, but like there are just tons of robots. This is the last human family. And I started thinking, it's like, even if you save them, like, what's step two? Like, are we trying to repopulate the Earth? How's this going to work? That's kind of grim. And then Ultratron goes a step further. Like, you are playing as the last human consciousness. You don't even have a body. You actually can possess other robots, and you transfer your consciousness from robot to robot to robot to try to basically take revenge for the human race. But the human race is dead. So.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I want to play the game that leads up to these two scenarios. Like, we obviously lost the war against the robots to set all this stuff up. But I kind of want to play as the robots destroying the humans. And but I want it to be kind of in that Robotron style. So, a twin-stick shooter.
That's grim.
So, like, the reverse. Like, maybe you're the first, like, robot that is just, I don't know, being attacked by a bunch of soldiers, then you do the twin stick shooting to mow them down and overpopulate.
Wow, I see how I see. Oh, I see. Terminator had a different sort of impact on you.
I was also thinking back to, like, you know, how zombies are in every game, everywhere, and they're like in movies and comic books. Robots have kind of fallen off as far as the, you know, the upcoming threat. But I'm telling you, at Robotron 2084, we've got 70 years before ultimately this is where we're headed. And I think the first step is the Oculus Rift. And then from that point on, we're going to get the robot technology is going to kind of advance from there. So we could be in trouble.
So we're going to get plugged in and then wiped out.
I think so.
And then programmed to shoot off all the dicks.
Oh, man. Just don't want to shoot my own off. That wouldn't be good.
I don't know. I'm sure there's some protocol.
Or maybe
they just remove it.
Yeah, I probably would.
Or maybe, Ethan, an apocalyptic game that centers around the robot apocalypse. Like, as far as...
Yeah, that hasn't really been... I mean, outside of the Terminator Salvation spinoff,
like your
game...
Like your State of Decay, except it's the robot apocalypse.
That would be cool. I you know what? I would love it. I would love State of Decay, but in the Terminator universe. That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Take it.
I'll take credit as that was my original idea. Let's forget all the Robotron setup stuff, but...
That's a good idea.
Let's remake all these post-apocalypse games and put robots in them.
You know what I want? To go back to a real quick game pitch. Did you see the movie Virus?
No.
It was this AI that could assemble creatures out of human flesh, machinery, all this kind of stuff. Watch the movie Virus. I want a game that is... That is your enemy. It builds. I mean, it was. Think about zombies with robot parts, but then they would just turn into these, like, you know, they'd have chainsaws for their hands and like all kinds of stuff. Like, it was. It's a badass movie. Check it out. But that is the game I want. I wanted a continuously evolving creatures that can, like, assemble, you know, offensive and defensive measures based on, like, the junk they find around them or the bodies or whatnot. Yeah.
I think, like, cool. You could bring along the zombie fans if you did that, like, that transitional game where it's kind of zombie robots, like robots that take advantage of the zombies and mutate into this just terrifying metal zombie race. And then we can make the leap to robots. So I think we painted our path. So
that's good.
We're going to get out of here with new releases and then do some headline shout-outs here. But as far as new releases go, I'm just going to run this down. Big releases for the week. Lightning Returns Final Fantasy 13. That's on consoles. 2K and Bethesda teamed up for some ridiculous bundles. We got a Skyrim bundle and a BioShock Infinite bundle. Skyrim and BioShock Infinite is one bundle, and then Dishonored and Borderlands 2 is another bundle. It's out in stores. So, Far Cry compilation on PS3 and Far Cry Classic on XBLA and PlayStation Network, and then World of Tanks. I thought that was already out for the 360, but I could be wrong. Metal Slug 3 is out on the PC. That's really random. A complete edition of Civ 5. Another release of Witcher 2 on the 360. And then the Last of Us Left Behind DLC, that's out this week.
Yeah.
And then Descent showed up on PC. So.
Oh, boy.
I just saw that, too. That's weird.
Anything catch your eye?
Steven's flooded. Descent did, but not like in a positive way. I was just like, what?
I kind of had the... I kind of had the same moment with the Far Cry Classic release, that it's out on just the arcades on the consoles. I was like, what about the PC? I was like, oh yeah, it's already out there. Like, it was a PC game. It still is on Steam. You can go. You don't need a classic release of it. It's still there.
Yeah.
So, I want a Far Cry Classic, like, redone with the new engine, honestly. Like, just,
that would be awesome.
That would be good.
And then change the ending. And like the lead up to the ending, but what about you, Aaron?
I'm excited because it's been months since I finished The Last of Us to try out this DLC. I've skimmed some articles. I don't want to get too, I guess, into spoiler territory with what's going on with Ellie and her former best friend, but I'm here. There's probably some good potential there for.
It's kind of a prequel, right?
Yeah, it's a prequel to before Ellie gets with Joel on their road trip across the zombie town.
Road trip across zombie town.
I was just picturing like Hollywood getting a hold of The Last of Us and just completely missing the point, and then forgetting the fact that there was another movie named Road Trip, and just calling The Last of Us Road Trip.
Just call it Road Trip.
Had to kill zombie Tom Green.
Yeah, Scotty doesn't know.
Oh boy!
But yeah, I'm excited. I mean, we still never played multiplayer, which is actually fine with me.
We can do that.
I mean, I don't mind. We can do that. Yeah,
I can stream that.
At some
shit.
Point, we'll do that.
Yeah,
I can April 1st.
Let's do that. Put that on the list. Shout outs, call outs again, Ethan. Part of our theme of just not being too negative this year, not getting caught up in the bullshit. Good things going on in the industry that you want to give a shout out to, and something you want to see changed or improved is what we're going for.
Okay. So just a quick shout out, Darkest Dungeon. It's on Kickstarter right now. Looks awesome. It's a gritty, roguelike. Man, I don't even know how to describe the game. But, I mean,
I think
it looks kind of like
roguelike.
Turn-based combat, but like a lot of roguelikes are just one party member and it says four party members. It's cool, but
For lack of a better term, the camera angle's cool, like the perspective they went with.
Yeah. And the art style is awesome. Mm. It's like that old medieval, like, you know, etching type look to it. One aspect of this sounds really cool is that your characters are affected by what they're doing. So like they may go kind of crazy or they may get scared of creatures, and like there's a whole like a big mental and physical like deterioration that's happening to your party members. I think it looks awesome, and I'm super excited for that. I'm going to support that Kickstarter. I would check it out. I mean, it's doing well. It's already met its goal right now. So it's trying to make its way up the other features. So. And then call out wise, Dungeon Keeper came out. People are pretty disappointed. A lot of people are spending a lot of time and energy complaining about that. Guys, just don't play it. Like, just don't play
it.
Point. Don't worry about other people playing it. You know, I think we have to come to the realization that there is a demographic of gamers that we're not included in. The mobile gaming may not be, to be a hardcore gamer or whatever you want to call yourself, you're not going to get. Not every game is going to be made for you. If you don't like a game, you're spending so much energy being upset about a game that you're not going to play. Mm-hmm. Play other games. In terms of Dungeon Keeper, yeah, it sucks. That was a great IP. But there are some cool Dungeon Keeper-like games that are going to be coming out.
Are we allowed to get upset of the misuse of an IP on a mobile platform at this point? Because I'm kind of over it.
It's happening. Like we've got to. There's so many games out there. People are going to ruin your favorite franchise. They're going to do it. It happens because it gets to a point where that franchise has to be milked. And I think gamers are spending too much of their energy complaining about games that they liked 20 years ago that may not be relevant now, you know? And so just play other games. There's all kinds of derivatives. We just got to spend too much energy on
leave
this.
Pac-Man alone.
the dude on the cover, the kind of iconic devil looking guy for Dungeon Keeper, and you mentioned every franchise is going to be milked. That would be a rough job.
He's going to milk them.
he could easily be milked, yes.
My shout out goes to Evolve. I got really wrapped up in that release. The release trailer this week, or the announcement trailer, I guess. And then, to my surprise, everybody was showing like the gameplay videos from the demos they had. But Turtle Rock Studios, the guys behind Left 4 Dead, I believe just Left 4 Dead 1, Valve kind of ran with Left 4 Dead 2, and that team has since left, and they're working with 2K now, and they're making a 4-on-1 multiplayer game called Evolve that, first of all, the setup from the trailer makes it look like Predator, which is like chain guns.
Yeah.
The characters' designs look hilarious to me. I love the stereotypes represented. I think you either got to go with giant mustache on Space Cowboy, or you do big bearded redneck guy. I don't think you have both, but I'll come around to it. But anyway, the same kind of approach in that you're playing as a team of four, but the fifth player controls, I believe it's called the Goliath. It's basically this giant alien creature that is out in the map, and he's consuming things to evolve, to like grow stronger, grow bigger, get powers, while he's being hunted by these four characters. And that just sounds like a really, really great multiplayer concept. And if any team can like flesh that out to, you know, be something even more than it sounds, I think it's in the right hands there. And the trailer was awesome, and I can't wait to play it. You mentioned Giant Citizen Kabuto. It kind of gave me flashbacks to that as well, and I think this could be super cool.
Well, the best thing I took away from all those previews, everybody wrote that this is a studio that is unbelievably confident in their game. The amount of time they let people play the game, like everyone was like, it's really well polished. It's considered, you know, alpha. It looks great. It plays great. It's really exciting. Like they wanted people to play it. You know, we're kind of in this world where some studios are a little bit dodgy about letting you play games because they don't want you to get the wrong impression. They're like, nah, play it. This is awesome. This game's going to be awesome. It's got Godzilla. It's got Predator. Oh my God, that game's going to be so freaking cool.
Yeah. I wonder if they'll add other creatures or like, you know, there's gonna be more stuff. I know Goliath's hunting
two
down.
Play modes.
Okay, I was gonna say that Goliath's hunting down prey himself to eat and evolve. So I'm sure there's other enemies that are in the way of the, but the main guy. I wonder if they'll have multiple ones or just the one big one. Probably just the one big one.
Sounds to me like there's a Left 4 Dead like mode attached to it, like, you know, the undead versus humans.
Yeah.
There's another mode attached where there's more creatures that you're choosing from, and there's other creatures.
Okay.
And you're going to have all kinds of, and also, like, in terms of the stereotype guys, from what I read, you're going to have your choice of characters within those roles. So you don't have to have, like, a full bearded team.
Well, it was just like, their old gritty space cowboy guy looked great. And then they also had, like, giant redneck guy that looked great. And I was just like, I really only need one or the other. You know, big black cyborg dude was awesome, and then the flying sniper lady, she was cool, but it was just like, these two were a little bit too close, and, but an excellent beard and an excellent mustache, so what am I really complaining about at that point?
I was gonna say, first world problems right there, geez. Can I just point out, one of the coolest scenes in that trailer was the characters standing there, they look off in the distance, and all these birds fly up out of the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, shit, something's coming.
Yeah, there's going to be,
like, I was like, oh, that is so iconic, dude. That is so iconic.
So many things. So it's next gen. It's Xbox One, PlayStation 4, PC. And then what was I going with that? I mean, the graphics looked great, but there's going to be all these kinds of ways where you can try to track where the creature is. So it doesn't sound like the map's going to be huge where you, even as the creature, you can hide for too long. But it's going to be an interesting game of cat and mouse before, you know, that mouse turns into a badass and you need to call in some, you know, call in a Titan to take him down or something. My call out is to Tiny Death Star and to these little free-to-play games with endless updates, because I don't know when I'm supposed to be done with you. I was done with Tiny Death Star. And by done, I mean, I play it every couple days, but only like, just to refresh things, not my intense Tiny Death Star sessions that I had those first few weeks. Then they went and added this whole new section to, you've got all the shops and all the floors that you're taking care of, but then you have these Imperial levels where you're doing research and you're supposed to just level up these items and it gives you money. But now, instead of just having one item per level, you've got multiple items per level and different assignments coming in from Darth Vader. Anyway, those levels just got like triply complex, and you have to watch them every half hour now. And it just added a lot of work to me enjoying this game, and I am not strong enough to stop. And anyway, my point was, if you're going to have updates like this, like Tiny Death Star has been so weird. It took a while for it to come out. I don't know when and if this game's going to be done, and it's fine if it's not, but, like, I really appreciate, like, when the bigger games, like, Planet Side 2, for instance, they lay out like basically a roadmap for the year of the features they're adding. I want to know, what are you actually working on with Tiny Death Star? Because I feel like I was investing in the wrong thing, and now you made me take a right-hand turn. And there are other games that have done this that have turned me away, and I don't want to quit Tiny Death Star, but it's really frustrating, and I'm still addicted, and it doesn't matter. I won't stop, but I want to stop. And so can they stop?
I haven't touched Tiny Death Star in a long time. I knew nothing about anything you've just said, and now I kind of hate that you said it, because it means I'm going to have to launch it and see this stuff for myself, and then I'm back in it. I'm back in the shit. Defoe!
Come on, Defoe!
Defoe!
All right.
Don't let this happen.
Take us home with your shout-outs and call-outs.
My shout-out goes to... Let's just keep the mobile train going. My shout-out goes to a game called Threes. I picked it up after reading a little review of it last week. It's by the same, I think, people involved in making a game called Puzzle Juice, which was another mobile game. I don't want to get into describing that one. But Threes, in particular, apparently took a year to make, and the story about that is kind of was interesting to me in that the only reason it took a year is because they had a premise for it, like a basic premise, which is the game they released last week. But they've tried to build upon it and make it more interesting and add other layers to it. And every time they showed it off to people, they were like, oh, this is a little complex. I liked it more when it was just this. And it was kind of like it took them so long because they built a game, built upon it, and then deconstructed it back to its simplest form and then put it out there. And now people are on Twitter, you know, tweeting out their high scores. And there's like 5-digit scores, I think. I believe Chris Plant from Polygon tweeted out 8,000. Yeah, he must have cheated his ass. Went up to like 20,000 points high score. And my best score has been 4,000 so far. Willem Dafoe needs
seven digits.
He needs to weed out all these cheaters so that my score can be higher on the leaderboard. But it's just a really fun game of just matching. You have to match a 2 and a 1 to get 3, and from there you have to match 3 and 3 to get 6, 6 and 6 to make 12.
Right.
And it's a 4x4 grid. So once you run out of moves, it's over. I
need to get out my multiplication tables to play this game.
All you have to know is that if two numbers look alike, they can go together, unless it's 2 or 1.
No, I read your Radio Waves kind of hype in this game and downloaded it. I haven't played it yet, but then heard a bunch of other people talking about it, and then I think Giant Bomb's actually going to do a stream with one of the developers of the game playing it, because apparently his high scores are just unattainable, and he's playing it on a different level, so which seems to be really exciting to people to enjoy that game. So
I want to watch that. I feel like it would be like when we were all playing Spelunky, and I was doing super good, and people quit.
That never happened. That never happened.
That never happens.
No, we all
Spelunky got updated. Did you know that? Like Spelunky has like
they added a pro HUD for live streamers. That cracks me up. And I thought that was amazing. Awesome. That is just embracing your audience, because I mean, how many daily challenge live streams are still out there? There's still, I mean, a game will not die, and that's awesome. Yeah. And I kind of want to keep playing it
forever.
Again.
I kind of want to get back into it. My call out, however, is to the infamous Flappy Bird. And just all the shit around that game, the fact that it became popular in the first place, it apparently came out sometime last year, became popular in the last couple of weeks.
Who made it? Who made this happen?
His name was...
Who found the game and caused the explosion?
I want to put the blame on a YouTuber named, like, I believe he's the one.
Oh man. Okay. That explains the buzz around it before I figured out. I was like, why is this a topic of conversation?
Yeah. It made no sense. Like my I think I saw something about it in a side about Flappy Bird. I'm like, what the hell is Flappy Bird? And so I ignored it, and I woke up early one morning, checked my phone, still half asleep. Just happened to jump on Twitter to see what was going on, and people were like, Flappy Bird, Flappy Bird, sharing pictures of Flappy Bird, and I'm like, what the hell? So I downloaded it, played it twice, and went back to sleep. And I was like, this was, why are we talking about this? And it's just crazy. Like, IGN has a review of the game. They gave like a 5-point something. I was like, why? Is this a joke?
Wow.
There's the deconstructions of like,
there's
the industry
seriously wrong
occurring.
If somebody is assigned to review that game.
Is something wrong. Flappy Bird is like
you
a dog
do
taking a shit
game
on a sidewalk.
Who the fuck reviews that game?
They reviewed it. It blew my mind.
What a cop out too, a five.
Yeah, just a five. It's clearly it deserves better or worse.
On a scale of 18.
But it's a literal turd of a game that people have placed on display at the museum, and they're having deep introspection about this turd.
Yeah.
Some people are upset that it looks and sounds like Mario. Some people are upset that it's too hard and unfair. Some people are upset that we're being upset about it.
Yeah, I mean, the story is the developer and everything kind of around him. And you guys were, Ethan, you were kind of talking about, I didn't know his actual story. Why is this guy getting rich a problem?
Well, he is from Vietnam, and he, you know, the rumor is that he's making like $50,000 a day. That's not confirmed, but he's made a lot of money. And, you know, the living wage in Vietnam is dramatically, dramatically lower than what we would be used to in the Western world. So the concern for him is that, you know, there's some corruption, some criminal elements that would see someone who just went from, you know, making a normal wage to being a millionaire without the proper structure in place to keep him protected. I mean, this is something that kind of classically happens with lottery winners here in the States, though, you know, we have a more, I guess, maybe reliable police force. So, I mean, this guy is not, he's not prepared for having this amount of money. And he didn't like the fact that it was addicting. He was getting Twitter messages from people that were crazy, people are kind of giving him shit because they're like, oh, you're making so much money. The dude kind of has some ethics, and he's kind of falling back on him. He had no plan of this game being super popular, though he does have at least three more top 10 games that are, you know, simple and whatnot on the App Store. But the fact of the matter is it got too big, and there's more to this story, and I think that people need to my biggest problem with it is people need to respect this dude's request to end Flappy Bird. He wants it to end. Someone's going to redo Flappy Bird. It's not tough. Everyone's already reprogrammed it a million times. The guy wants out of the spotlight. He didn't intend for this to happen. Let's let him get out of the spotlight. Let's forget about this. I know it's a big story because it's slow news, but it could be unsafe for this guy. It really could. And that's not to say anything about Vietnam. I'm not trying to knock that as a whole country, but that is one of the concerns that he himself had. So until the dude has, you know, enough protection to prevent him from being taken advantage of, I think that, you know, everyone needs to back off, you know.
Still don't understand people latching onto it. It should have been just completely forgettable and harmless, and
it really should.
But at this point, it was a really fascinating week and fascinating story. So I get that, but what a weird ending. So Flappy Bird, we barely knew you.
Let's get Defoe over there.
Come on, Defoe.
Bodyguard him.
Yeah, bodyguard him. Yeah.
No, he wouldn't. He'd give him
dumb book. He's like, I saw a dog.
Yeah, give these to the, you know, these will get the guys to stop. Oh my gosh, hold on, guys, hold on.
Yeah, your dog is here. I saw. Hey.
Uh-oh. Come here. Come here.
Come here. Come here. I got him, puppy.
So, did he learn how to open doors? Hey, what just happened?
You've already eaten one of those. You've already eaten one of those. Hi, pup. Say hi, everybody.
Aww.
What do you think about Flappy Bird, pup?
Tell us about Flappy Bird. Oh, do you want down or something? All right.
He hates Flappy Bird. It's too hard.
He's like, that was terrible. He put me on live television.
It's unsafe for him now. No. Gotta get him out of the spotlight.
Oh man, he chewed through about $250 of audio equipment last week, so he's not allowed in here.
He owes you money.
But I tease him by bringing him in here and putting him on the show. So I think that's a good spot to end. Thanks everybody for we tried out a new format. Let us know what you thought. We're gonna do this show every Tuesday on twitch.tv/horriblenight. You can subscribe on iTunes, give us a review if you liked it, leave some comments, let us know. We'll see how 2014 goes. Got some other podcasts planned for y'all. Ethan, Aaron, thanks for hanging out. And we'll catch you all next time.